of the State of Idaho is now in session pursuant to law.
Thank you all. Please be seated. Good morning and welcome to the Idaho Supreme Court sitting at the University of Idaho College of Law this morning, February 14, 2024. The first matter before this court this morning is Hill v. Blaine County, case number 50088. In this matter, Jeffrey Hill appeals and is represented by Samuel Linnert, and Laura Smithman appears only in this matter. Respondent Blaine County is represented by Timothy Graves, and respondent Greenhorn Owners Association by Heather O'Leary. Counsel, do any of you have any preliminary matters for this court prior to argument?
No, Your Honor.
Mr. Linnert, then you may proceed, sir.
IGR is the only road that accesses Mr. Hill's private property. Mr. Hill's property, which is an old mining site, is zoned for rural residential development. To ensure continued access to the property, Mr. Hill submitted an approach and encroachment permit to maintain IGR in its current width and layout and to the standards set forth in the Blaine County Right-of-Way Management Plan. Mr. Hill is not attempting to widen the road, pave it, or otherwise change its characteristics. He was simply trying to ensure continued access to his property and to maintain the road in the same manner that Blaine County previously maintained it. Blaine County denied Mr. Hill's permit for the sole reason that the county lacked authority to grant the permit because it determined that IGR was no longer a public road. On Mr. Hill's petition for judicial review, the district court denied in part, reversed in part, and affirmed in part Mr. Hill's petition, and then remanded it back to the county. The district court denied Mr. Hill's claim that the county should have approved his approach and encroachment permit because Mr. Hill believed that IGR was a public road. Instead, the district court found that IGR was not a public road, and therefore the county correctly denied the permit based on that determination.
Well, and counsel, let me clarify a little bit, because as I understand it, the district court said, okay, I don't find any error in the county's conclusion that under the validation analysis and their validation decision, it's not a public road. But I understood him to say, county, you still need to look at the public easements contained on the plat and determine whether that gives you authority. So I'm not sure the decision sweeps quite as broadly.
Correct. So the district court remanded it back to the county commissioners to have the county evaluate the application for an approach and encroachment permit under easement theory. We believe that that's an incorrect legal standard, and that the county needs to evaluate the approach and encroachment permit under a public road theory, because the validation decision declared Imperial Gulch Road to be a public road. And there are significant differences in the rights and maintenance obligations between a public road and a public access easement.
So, counsel, did the board declare the road to be a public road or recognize that it was a public road? Is there a difference there?
I don't believe that there is a significant difference. Under the validation decision and the validation procedures in Idaho Code 40-203A, the county made the legal determination that the facts showed that the Imperial Gulch Road had been lawfully created under Idaho law. In the order portion of that validation decision, the county declared that an IGR was a county road, public highway, and federal land right-of-way. And then it found the validation was not in the public interest. So we believe that that legal determination through the validation process found that there had been a lawfully created public road.
So do you agree that the county did not validate IGR?
If I'm not validated, found that it was not a public road, then I disagree with that.
And that's not what I'm asking. The statute says at the conclusion of all of this, they either validate it or they don't. I recognize they didn't expressly say whether they were validating it or not, but the effect of the decision, when you read it as a whole, and they say it's not in the public interest to validate it, do you agree that order didn't validate IGR?
No. I believe that that might have been the county's intention, but that Idaho Code, the validation statute, 4203A, requires a county at the end of the validation process to declare that the road is public or declare it not to be public. They declared that it was public and that it was lawfully created, and then they made the discretionary determination, the discretionary decision that validation wasn't a public road or wasn't in the public interest. And the whole theory behind our argument is that in that specific set of circumstances, which we've never seen precedent with the same set of facts, if a county recognizes that a public road has been lawfully created, then it finds that validation is not in the public interest, then it needs to go through abandonment.
What is the intent then? What is the purpose of having a public interest requirement that can just be overlooked based upon the finding of the public road?
I don't believe that it requires that you overlook the public interest determination. I think the way the statute is written, you have to look at the validation statute in tandem with the abandonment statute.
But under your reading, does that make the public interest requirement meaningless?
No.
Or clueless?
I don't believe it does. I just believe that if they find that a public road is lawfully created and validation is not in the public interest, then the county should go through, then it needs to go through abandonment proceedings. Because to hold otherwise would allow any county, city, highway district to go to initiate validation proceedings, not notice any intent to abandon public road. They could then find that a road is lawfully created, and people who want the road, parties that have interest in the road being lawfully created, would say, okay, yep, we agree with that holding, the road is publicly created. But then the county could go and say, as a policy determination, we don't want to validate it. And therefore, this road, which was created by operation of Idaho law, is no longer a public road. It's effectively abandoned. And it completely ignores the procedures, the protections, the due process contained in 40-203, and Idaho's abandoning procedures. So while I take your question very seriously, Ms. Fuller, it's a good one. The risk of making that one portion of 40-203A seem superfluous is much less significant than making the entire abandonment statute, 40-203, meaningless. The legislature has said that the intent of Idaho's abandonment statute is to ensure that roads are only abandoned through that process. And so in the unique set of facts that we have here, where a county finds that a road has been lawfully created, but that validation is not in the public interest, that public interest determination is just a signal, it's a policy choice that we intend to abandon this road. But they have to go through those formal procedures before that intent, that policy decision, is effective.
And my concern with the argument you're making in that regard is you didn't appeal the validation decision. So it strikes me, I mean, we're talking, you filed a petition for judicial review from the denial of the application for an encroachment permit. The county denied it based on its determination made in the validation decision. And so it strikes me we're limited to looking at was that a valid, its decision, whatever it decided in the validation decision, was that a valid legal basis to deny your permit? I don't see how we get to get into whether their validation decision was correct. Instead, it strikes me we're limited to determining did the validation decision either validate the road or not, and if it did not, what does that mean?
Yeah, so, I mean, we made the choice to not appeal the validation decision because we didn't really see how an appeal of the validation decision could be successful or get us the end that we wanted to, because at that point, the validation decision said that Imperial Gulch Road is a lawfully created public road. The quasi-judicial determination, we agreed with it. The discretionary decision, the validation was not in the public interest, is discretionary, it's a policy decision. We know that on a petition for judicial review, we're not going to be able to overturn that decision. And so really, what this case is about is the application of that validation decision, the application of that conclusion to this approaching encroachment permit. And we felt we needed a real justiciable case, some kind of controversy, where Blaine County actually came out and would say, Imperial Gulch Road is no longer a public road, before we could bring any kind of petition for judicial review or action to get a correct interpretation of the validation decision.
But you seem to be making a legal argument here that if a county makes a determination that validation isn't in the public interest, that what they have to do is, in tandem with that decision, is move to vacate or abandon the road. And so, I mean, that's very much a legal argument, not something that's fact-dependent.
I think we're making that argument only under the set of facts that if the county wants to treat the subject road as no longer a public road, then they have to go through abandonment. We have no issue with the validation decision as far as what we believe its legal consequences. It declared Imperial Gulch Road to be a public road.
But the county is saying it didn't.
It
didn't validate it. And that's why I'm saying, it strikes me, we're limited to deciding, did this order declare it a public road and validate it or not? And I don't see how we ever get to your argument that it had to validate it because the only way they could declare it not a public road is to concurrently institute abandonment proceedings. And so that's what I'm saying. You didn't challenge the order to say, I don't know what you're actually doing here. I understand you read it as saying it was validating it. My concern with your interpretation or my struggle with it is you're relying on a sentence at the very beginning and you're ignoring everything else that follows because you're saying, effectively, to Justice Mueller's point, it doesn't matter. If we interpret that order as saying it didn't validate the road, it strikes me we're done and we never reach your that wouldn't work because they didn't institute abandonment proceedings. So help me understand how we ever get to your argument about it, they didn't institute abandonment proceedings.
I'm going to try to address all of that. So our argument is that the validation decision, the county and I have a different interpretation of what the effect of the validation decision is. We did not have an issue with the effect of the validation decision because we believe under Idaho Code 40-203, the county had two choices. Declare Imperial Gulch Road public or not public. And in the validation decision, despite all of the explanation above it, they concluded that there was evidence that Imperial Gulch Road was a validly created public road under Idaho law.
So the difference in your interpretation is just you're sticking to the part you like, but disregarding the part you didn't like.
Well, the part we didn't like wasn't clear about what the county was actually doing in the validation decision. Under a validation decision, you can either declare a road to be public or not public. The validation decision clearly declared it to be public. It did not declare the road, and the county did not say that Imperial Gulch Road is not a public road until after we appealed the denial of encroachment permit. If you read the entire validation decision, nowhere in there do they say Imperial Gulch Road is no longer a public road. They declare that Imperial Gulch Road is a public road. It's a county road, public highway, federal land right of way. And if you look at that conclusion and then you look at Idaho's abandonment statutes, the only way to change, so validation statutes don't create, or validation processes don't create new rights, they recognize existing rights when there's a doubt. So you can't use the validation decision to say, well, there was a validly created road. There is a road that exists in Idaho under Idaho law. But we don't think it's in the public interest to validate it and change that determination because under the abandonment statute, the only way to abandon roads is through the abandonment process. And that is a separate process from validation.
Justice, would you mind repeating the question, please?
I wouldn't, and I'll take the opportunity to expand on it as well. my question is, doesn't that overlook the choices in Section 203, but I also want to go back to my original question about the recognition. You would agree that the county doesn't have an option to validate a private road.
Correct.
Unless there's something that was validly created as a public road or a public right-of-way, then there would be no validation period, correct?
Yes, because there'd be no lawful mechanism to create a road. Yes, they'd have to make that first determination.
And so isn't this a determination, yes, this is a public road, but we're not going to validate it because it's not in the public interest?
That's what I think they were intending to do, but I don't think that Idaho statutes allow that to occur. Idaho roads can be created through a number of mechanisms. RS-2477, the one that was primarily used in this validation proceeding, the one that applies in this case, created a road back in the late 1800s. That road's been around for 140 years. It existed as a public road since that time. The validation proceedings are used to clarify doubts, resolve doubts around whether a public road exists or not. They do not create new rights. There's a this case cited in our briefing, Galvin v. Canyon County, or Canyon Highway District 4, and that stood and it held that the validation proceedings cannot create new rights. There, the county commissioners didn't create sufficient record to find that a road had been created under self-operation of Idaho law.
How is RS-2477 applicable in this case where segment one of the road, which is the part that we're talking about in this litigation, is a public public property? It goes over public property, not over private property.
I'm sorry, public property as in?
Segment one of IGR runs over privately owned land.
Privately owned, yes.
Not publicly owned.
Yes. So
I'm just wondering, how does RS-2477 fit into the analysis of this segment of the road, which is what this litigation is about?
Yeah, so the RS-2477 was a federal grant of roads to states, and it was an open invitation for states to claim roads that were federal property. That road existed prior to the Green Horn PUD planting and development. And our position is it exists this day as a road.
Segment one is subject to the RS-2477?
Yes, and that was the only segment that was subject to the validation decision. That was the only segment that was at issue. The BLM controls the rest of the road
and Forest Service.
And they currently manage it. They have issued right-of-way permits for it as a road. But the PUD, the 1980s Green Horn PUD, did not abandon any lawfully created public road there. That road existed prior to the PUD issue. And the federal government, if you look at 240-204A, there are specific abandonment procedures for federal rights of way, like 2477. You know, the FERC Act of Federal Ownership, there are lots of specific substantive requirements and obligations on part of the county or the highway district if they want to abandon this right.
It seems to me that if you look at subsection 3 of the statute, it says, upon completion of the proceedings, the commissioners shall determine whether validation of the highway or public right-of-way is in the public interest and shall enter an order validating the highway or public right-of-way as public or declaring it not to be public. It seems like that statute, for lack of a legal term, mushes together the concept of public road status and then this concept of public interest. I mean, does the statute blend those two concepts?
I don't believe so. I believe that that and validate the road as public or declare it not to be public is very clear. They validated it as public. They declared it to be public. They did not. I think it's going to be completely uncontested. I don't know how we can get to the conclusion that Wayne County, in the validation decision, declared it not to be public. Nowhere in the validation decision, above the order, in the order section, in the facts or background, does Wayne County say IGR is declared to not be a public road. They didn't make that determination until after we appealed the denial of the encroachment permit. Even in the initial denial, they said that we're constrained by the validation decision. We chose not to validate it. They didn't say it's not public, we didn't get them to expressly say what they say they mean by the validation decision until after we applied for this encroachment permit.
Didn't Judge Williamson analyze it that by not validating, it's a default to the part of the and, which is he ruled that if it's not validated, then they have ipso facto declared it not public. Isn't that kind of what he ruled?
He did.
And tell me how he got it wrong.
I think they're two separate determinations. I think that the validation decision, the way that Idaho 203A are drafted, clear intent of the legislature in those sections, the validation decision is a public interest determination that has to be made if you're going to validate a road, right? And you can read it as it has to be made, but the statute's also unclear about what determination you have to make there.
What's unclear? Which part of the statute's unclear?
It says that the county has to make a determination about whether validation is in the public interest.
Which part of the statute are you citing?
Subsection 3. It says that it shall determine whether validation is in the public interest and shall enter it. But that's it. It says it shall determine if it's in the public interest. It doesn't say that it shall determine that it has to be in the public interest for it to be validated in the public right of way. But it all comes back to the bigger picture here around how these statutes are written in their entirety. It is not a well-written statute for this specific factual circumstance, because the county has interpreted that by saying our discretionary decision that validation is not in the public interest, that can undo 140 years of the road being lawfully created under Idaho law, in complete opposition to Idaho Code 40-203, which said the only way you can abandon a lawfully created public road is through these abandonment proceedings. I don't think that can be the interpretation. Otherwise, we're going to have any county or highway district abandoning roads and avoiding the responsibility that they have, the substantive due process responsibilities that they have under 203, under Idaho's abandonment statute. So legislature has made it clear that's how you abandon a road.
But again, my struggle is that seems to be a collateral attack on the validation decision. I mean, I understand you interpreted it as validating the road. The sentence you rely on is based on the evidence and testimony presented. The board finds that although there is evidence establishing that IGR is a public road, comma, validation of IGR is not in the public interest. I mean, for me, that, at best, that's an ambiguous statement. And so to get to the public policy arguments you're making seems to me to be an attack on this order, but you didn't appeal this order.
The reason we didn't appeal the order is because the order is on page 303 of the exhibits. It says, the board finds and declares that the evidence establishes that IGR is a county road, public highway, and federal land right of way.
And then the next sentence says, the board also finds that validation of IGR is not in the public interest.
Yes.
And so,
public road status, unless and until they go through abandonment proceedings, the subjective intent of the county, the policy determination by the county that validation is not in the public interest, cannot vacate a validly created public road. So we didn't appeal the validation decision because the validation decision made the holding that we wanted. It made the quasi-judicial determination that we wanted, and we didn't think that the discretionary decision is a loophole that can allow counties to abandon public roads without going through abandonment proceedings. And we felt like we were going to be asking the court for an advisory opinion about what this means without any kind of issue at hand. Because at this point in time, we hadn't tried to apply for an encroachment permit. So we were really trying to set this up so that it was very clear to the court that there's an issue here. The way that the county is interpreting what they've done and what they think they've done is that they've abandoned a public road. We know that because we tried to get a permit for a public road, and they said, nope, it's not a public road anymore.
And so if we interpret the order differently and say, even though it didn't expressly state it, it's implied or it's implicit that they said we're not validating it, then you're done.
If you make that determination, yes. If you make that determination, then we're done. And then any, I believe any county could abandon a road without following Idaho's road abandonment procedures.
Unless somebody appeals it and says, you can't do this.
Yep, but, and the issue I have there is that there will be no notice or due process to the public of a county's intent to abandon a public road. So they would go through the validation procedures. They'd say, hey, we're going to validate this road, or we're going to have proceedings to validate this road, without ever having to disclose their intent to abandon the road.
In the council, in the commission's letter of May 4, 2021, they explained that the board did not validate Imperial Gulch Road, but found instead, and I'm quoting here, that Imperial Gulch Road was more suited as an unmaintained, primitive public access. Does that tantamount to abandonment?
I believe it is.
And why is that?
Because the public access they're referring to are the overlying public access easements that were part of the Green Corn PUD. And access easements have significantly less rights than public roads. Public roads also have maintenance obligations, and there are due process considerations if you're going to abandon a public road.
So the lack of maintenance and widening is tantamount to abandonment?
Lack of maintenance. I think there's...
Because part of your request was you were going to widen the road, and they're saying, no, we're going to leave the road the way it is. We're going to, it's going to be unmaintained, primitive public access. And that doesn't sound to me like they think they've abandoned it. They just think they've narrowed its use.
I'm going over time here, but I want to answer this question. I believe they've abandoned it as a public road, and they have retained something less, these public access easements. They have admitted and stated in their briefing that they don't believe there is a maintenance obligation, or that even they even have the maintenance, the authority to require maintenance on public access easements. And if they're a public road, there are significantly more rights afforded to Mr. Hill and to the public as far as maintenance obligations by the county, as far as requirements if the county ever were to want to abandon it as a public road, et cetera. So we think they're apples and oranges. The public road is a much more significant right than a public access easement. It protects Mr. Hill's access, it protects his private property. That's all. We're looking for the determination from the court to summarize this briefly. We're asking the court to vacate the district court's rulings and remand the matter back to the Plain County Commissioners with the express ruling that IGR is a public road under the validation decision. It's subject to Lake County's road standards, and that is the legal status of the road unless and until they conduct formal abandonment proceedings. And I want to emphasize there is nothing preventing them from going through the statutorily required process to abandon the public road they've just chosen not to. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Graves, will you be first?
Yes, Your Honor.
Very well, sir. Go ahead.
May it please the court, counsel, my name is Tim Graves, representing the amended notice of appeal issues that were put forward by Mr. Linnett to this court. We have made arguments in both our briefing as well as a motion to dismiss that was denied regarding exhaustion of administrative remedies, and that this remand should take place in front of the district court before this court has to get involved. We made our arguments. We're going to set those aside. I'm not going to continue to belabor that point because technically our arguments have already been rejected by the court. So I don't want to go through a few comments.
To be clear, are you setting them aside or are you just submitting them on the briefing?
I'm just submitting them on the briefing. I'm sorry. And so we still welcome that remand process. And although we don't necessarily agree with all the district court's decisions, we are prepared to go through with the remanded proceedings and have the board consider this matter in light of the access easements and an application to improve those access easements for those access easements within the county. what this appeal, if you look at those appeal issues, and after listening to Mr. Leonard, it's pretty clear what this case is really about, at least this appeal, what this appeal is about. It is not about the maintenance permit. It is about the validation decision. And it is the only issue really before this case. It is what the validation decision means and how it came into being and what was declared. The first question raised by Mr. Linnick concerns whether the district court erred in holding that the validation decision is limited to IGR status as an RS-2477 road. Now, the county in the validation decision considered both RS-2477 without naming the prior statutes. It also considered Idaho law that existed back in the 1800s and in the early 1900s, determining whether a road had been established by the evidence presented in the validation proceedings.
Let me probe you.
Sure.
on that. And this ties back to some questions Justice Mueller had earlier. So when I read the validation decision, it says IGR crosses private property. It talks about crossing the boundary of lots 16 and 17. And it says access across these private parcels has been granted by way of dedicated public access easements as part of the Greenhorn PUD subdivision and a separate easement granting public access across Deer Creek Ranch. These easements across private land were granted contemporaneously with the county's consideration and approval of the Greenhorn PUD subdivision. So that's all about segment one, which is what this encroachment permit covered, correct?
Correct.
Then the decision says IGR also traverses land under the jurisdiction of the Bureau of Land Management and United States Forest Service. And then the decision later talks about RS-2477. I don't ever see anything in the record that indicates the county analyzed segment one under RS-2477. The only factual findings I see in this order related to segment one are that they were public access easements granted in a plat and through a separate easement from Deer Creek Ranch.
And the reason for that is that the historical evidence preceded the Greenhorn plat. It preceded public ownership or private ownership of that land as well. That road was first created, I believe, in 1880 is the earliest evidence we have, when all of this property was under federal ownership.
I don't see those factual findings in the order, though. Is there something in the record that says that?
No.
Okay, and that's important to me because under 4203A sub 7, it says this section, the validation proceedings, does not apply to validation of any highway, public street, or public right-of-way, which is to be accepted as part of a platted subdivision. So I'm looking at this and I'm saying, why does this validation decision have anything to do with an encroachment permit on segment one? Because what I have in the validation decision is a statement that public access to segment one is pursuant to plat. And
we'll get into this. But under the easements that were granted within that subdivision plat, I think there were 30 feet wide. Maximum. There's also evidence in the record that they were only 15 feet wide. What Mr. Hill was looking for is a declaration that it's a public road. It's a public road. It gets 50 feet as the default under Idaho law. And so that would then allow him to do more on the property.
Right. And maybe I wasn't clear in my question, so let me try to restate it. The county's basis for denying his application for an encroachment permit was the validation decision. I'm not seeing under 4203A sub 7 how this validation decision applies to segment one. Because the county didn't make any findings in its decision other than saying segment one is covered by private easements. I don't see anything in here that says segment one we're analyzing not only under the private easements, but also under RS-2477.
Well, and that would then mean a complete denial of the permit on grounds that it's just not a public road, period. That section he's seeking to maintain he sought to maintain as a public road or a public street, I think, on the application it states.
Well, wouldn't it go back to the county? Because if it based its decision on a validation decision that doesn't apply to this segment, doesn't it go back to the county to reconsider the application?
When you say it goes back to the county, do you mean through the district court or through what mechanism?
If we would essentially affirm that part of Judge Williamson's decision that said, I'm going to remand it because the county failed to analyze whether it could grant the application pursuant to the public easements granted in the plat.
Of course. And that would be, that is what we're willing to go through and what the county is willing to consider is whether the application, in this case the maintenance application, is how the access easements would be potentially impacted, or whether within the scope of the access easements, whether this maintenance agreement or maintenance, repair, and improvement activities application should be allowed to occur within those public access easements. The issue that we had, or the county had, and the board had in considering this application was that is not what Mr. Hill has requested to do. He requested to improve a public road and continued with his assault on the county that this, that IGR is a public road, and it simply is not. And so now the district court has told us that we should consider it in terms of the access easement and not that it's within the scope of it being a public road, and the county's prepared to do that. And your point is well taken as far as this being the platted easement and how that is impacted by the validation decision and whether the validation decision is even relevant under those circumstances. But really, what this appeal gets to is it is an attack on the validation decision. It has very little to do with this maintenance agreement. And the validation decision and the proceedings that preceded it essentially dealt with Mr. Hill's attempts to maintain this road. And that is on page 4 of the validation decision, right before the board gets into its public interest determination. It says, here, the petitioners seek to expand, improve, and maintain IGR to accommodate their private development interests. The board believes that these private interests are at odds with the public interest for the reasons that follow. The board then goes through 8 separate grounds for why it believes it is not appropriate for it to determine that these expanded maintenance activities should take place, or why IGR should be considered a public road and should be validated as such.
But how does... Doesn't that decision end up blending the concept of whether this is a public road with whether certain maintenance activities should be allowed on it? I mean, don't they have to be 2 separate inquiries? And to that end, I mean, I'm going back to 4203 A sub 3. I'm not sure I understand what validation means in terms of, is it just a declaration that it's public or not public? And then how does this public interest factor come into play? Because you were talking about public interest being now a determination about maintenance activities.
I'll start by saying there are probably thousands of these sorts of public roads throughout Wayne County. These are roads that were created historically for mining purposes, and for other development purposes high up in the hills. And those roads are not necessarily suitable for development in Blaine County. They're at the top of ridge tops. They're at on mountaintops. They're in wetlands areas. They're in protected areas that have been identified throughout the county. These areas. Is less than ideal. In its comprehensive plan, it was stated that. I don't want to turn this into a LUPA matter, but that seems to be somewhat where Judge Williamson was concerned. And so, to get back to your question, the public interest determination allows the county, it gives the county the discretion to be able to determine whether a road suits the public interest and whether the road is valuable for things like recreation, whether it's valuable for transportation, whether it's valuable for any other public purpose. It is very broad, it is very discretionary. But the county has that authority, and the county has that discretion to determine what a proper use of, or whether a road should be deemed public or not.
And I guess my struggle with that argument is I've always understood the validation statutes to be somebody's made an offer of land, road, public right-of-way, or right-of-way, to a governmental entity, and the validation process is by which the governmental entity says, was an offer made, and are we choosing to accept the offer? And in this case, it seems like the evidence is clear that the county accepted the offer. I mean, the road was accepted as public anymore. And that strikes me as you need to abandon it, because it, the legal status was already determined. Validation, I've always understood it to be, what is the legal status? Did you accept it? Did it become a public road through use? Or are you saying, no, we don't want it? Where the acceptance and the use has already happened, I don't know how you can go back and say, we're just choosing to not validate it anymore. I mean, where am I misunderstanding? Because what I understand your argument to be is I'm misunderstanding the statute. So help me understand.
Well, the board's determination of the validation decision, which I will note is final and has not been appealed, essentially determined that IGR should remain in a primitive, unmaintained state. It should remain. That is the state it has been in for decades. And that it should remain in that state, and that that state, the primitive, unmaintained state, serve the public interest.
Right, but that doesn't mean it's not a public right-of-way. I mean, it may not be a highway, but that doesn't mean it's not a public right-of-way.
Completely agree. The public access easements are still in place. And the public access easements...
Oh, but don't blend public easements in this. Talk about the RS-2477 route. You know, that this was, you know, from the beginning of statehood, before that, this was primitive land. This is all subject to 2477.
Historically, yes, there was a road here.
Hear ye. The Supreme Court of the State of Idaho is now in session pursuant to law.
Yeah, please proceed.
Proceeding with audio zoom.
Council's okay with that? Any objection to that process? Clock reads 15:04. Mr. Gray, that's the time remaining for all close to you and Mr.
Thank you, Your Honor. It's for the council. I'm not going to pick up where I left off just because I've already reached the end of my time that I've allotted with Ms. O'Leary. And I will just touch very briefly on the abandonment issue. And it's relatively simple, our argument, but nothing in the Idaho Code related to either validation proceedings or abandonment proceedings requires the county to initiate validation decision or validate, I'm sorry, to initiate abandonment proceedings after a validation proceeding. The operative words in Idaho Code 40-203, which is the abandonment statute, is that the county may initiate, or the board may initiate. Likewise, an interested property owner may petition the board to initiate abandonment proceedings. So it's a discretionary call. There is nothing in the code that requires it. Of course, if a petitioner were to come to the county and ask the board to initiate validation proceedings or to initiate abandonment proceedings, the board would take that on and would consider it. So with that, that is the extent of my time. I waited an hour to say that little piece.
We appreciate your patience. So
you'll give the rest of my time to Ms. O'Leary. Thank you.
May it please the court, Mr. Chief Justice, this honorable court. As Mr. Graves mentioned, my name is Heather O'Leary. I'm here on behalf of Greenhorn Owners Association. That association owns a private road named Greenhorn Road, which connects to IGR, and both those roads provide the access to Mr. Hill's property. Now, the property owned by Mr. Hill is still subject to the public access easements, as Mr. Graves mentioned, as he explained, even though the board did deny Mr. Hill's application, those public access easements did not go away. They still remain intact in effect. And one thing to point out is that the right-of-way approach and encroach permit application that Mr. Hill submitted to the county only sought to repair an existing street, that street allegedly being IGR. It did not select to maintain or improve IGR as a public access easement. And that's an important point, I think, to be recognized. Notwithstanding that, we do believe that the board reviewed the application not only as a road, but also as a public access easement. Now, the district court disagreed with us, as you know, and remanded that issue back to the board. And the application on remand is subject to Blaine County Code 6-1-1-1, which requires the maintenance the right-of-way approach and encroachment permit to perform maintenance and repairs under a road or public access easement. Now, the board has discretion under that code as to whether to approve or deny such applications. And as I mentioned, we believe that the board denied the application, not only in the context of IGR being a road, but also as a public access easement. And it did so because pursuant to the request in Mr. Hill's application, in the context of a public access easement, it would have expanded that easement, which isn't allowed per the plat, and would have affected my client, the Greenhorn Owners Association. As you know, the application was limited to segment one, which traverses over lots 16 and 17 in Greenhorn subdivision, and then the adjacent Deer Creek Ranch property. And allowing the application pursuant to the requests of Mr. Hill would have required the easement right-of-way to be 50 feet wide. Specifically, Mr. Hill sought to maintain IGR in accordance with Blaine County Typical Section 1-A1, which the minimum right-of-way under that standard is 50 feet. Now, at best, under the Greenhorn plat, the easement is 30 feet. It could possibly be interpreted to be 40 feet. It depends where you look. And so it's a bit ambiguous. The scope of that easement for the use and the width is a bit ambiguous, and that needs to be determined in the board's purview on remand. But even if and when that is determined, the request under the application, as I said, would exceed the allowable use and width of the easement. Having said that, the district court did remand this issue to the board, and it was well within its right to do so. So to address this issue in front of this court would be premature until this limited issue of whether the application should be approved in the context of a public access event is addressed fully in front of the board. And to do so, all Mr. Hill needs to do is provide evidence to set forth the record in full, which as of right now, we believe is not sufficient. As I mentioned, it's unclear what the width of the easement really is. It's unclear what the use of the easement, what uses are allowed under the public access aspect of the easement. And that's where my client comes into play and where their concerns come into play. As I mentioned, they own and maintain Greenhorn Road at their expense. And you have to use Greenhorn Road to access IGR. So you have to use both those roads to get to Mr. Hill's property. Now, to allow him to do the uses that he's seeking under the application, which would essentially provide him year-round access, would require snow plowing, widening the road to conform with the Blaine County 50-foot right-of-way. He's also seeking to include signage on the property. He's also seeking to fill potholes, smooth washboards and berms, do minor trimming of vegetation, and he seeks to do this using a standard road mix of gravel and dirt with heavy equipment such as a bucket loader, a bulldozer, and a dump truck. As this court is well aware, right now IGR is a primitive, unmaintained single track road, and it's about 11 to 15 feet wide. Allowing the application, the maintenance requested under this application would completely alter the character of IGR. And these are things that need to be fleshed out in front of the board. So we believe that the maintenance requested under the application is contradictory to the current evidence of the character of IGR that's in the record, and that it would also require an expansion of use of the easement, which just is not unilaterally allowed. Now, the county is in a bit of a tough spot because, as recognized in its validation decision, an expansion of the easements would put it at odds with the private property owners who are members of the association for the reasons that I just stated. But that doesn't mean that it's not required to review this application on remand. And that's what it intends to do. As Mr. Graves mentioned, the board is fully prepared to proceed with reviewing the application in the context of the public access easement on remand. And until it does so, and until it renders a decision, this particular scope of the appeal should not be determined in this particular forum. Now, if this court would like to provide guidance to the board as to how to apply Blaine County Code 6-1-1-1, we would welcome that, and it would certainly be within its purview. As you know from the briefing, Mr. Hill has a different interpretation than we do. Our interpretation is that there are no standards that the county has to apply, that it has full discretion in either granting or denying permits, such as the one at issue, and that's what it did. And it provided a well-reasoned statement for its decision.
It certainly provided guidance before, but that kind of discrete guidance, wouldn't that be an advisory opinion?
Well, I don't think so, Your Honor, because it would be more of how do you interpret Blaine County Code 6-1-1-1? Do you interpret it as actually setting forth standards or not? As I mentioned, Mr. Hill believes that the language which states all such construction, improvement, and activity shall be in conformance with this chapter and any other standards set forth in the Blaine County Right-of-Way Management Plan and all other applicable laws, ordinances, rules, and regulations pertaining thereto, requires the board to apply the management plan, other ordinances, things like that, when reviewing applications under this code. Our position is this language just says that the construction improvement has to be in accordance with the right-of-way plan and other statutes and applicable law. It doesn't say that just because it is in accordance with that authority, we're required to approve an application. And as I mentioned, we believe that the board did provide a well-reasoned statement as to why it denied the application. The district court just disagreed that we provided that well-reasoned statement in the context of a public access easement. And although we disagree with that, we're fully prepared and willing to revisit that issue on remand. Now, with regards to the remainder of Mr. Hill's appeal, even if the board's denial of the application violated Idaho Code 67-5279, subsection 3, which we believe it did not, for the reasons set forth in our briefing and as previously stated by Mr. Graves. The appeal still fails because Mr. Hill has not satisfied his obligation under subsection 4 of that section to show, demonstrate, how his substantial rights have been violated. Now, in his briefing, Mr. Hill alleges that they have been violated because the board's denial of the application eliminated his access, which was protected by Idaho statutes. That's incorrect. No one, including Mr. Hill, has ever had a statutory right to use IGR because it was never validated. Second, Mr. Hill claims that his substantial rights have been violated because my client, Greenhorn Owners Association, is hostile to his use of his property and his potential residential development of that mining property.
So let me ask you, I'm mulling over your statement that no one has ever had the right to use IGR because it hasn't been validated. In the county find, it was a public road through 5 years or more of use by the public.
Your Honor, no one has ever had a statutory right to use it as a validated road because the validation decision rendered that it was not in the public interest to validate IGR as a public road. So it's never been protected by that validation statute.
But the county said in its validation decision it became a public road through operation of Idaho statute because it was used for 5 years or more.
Correct. But then you, as you pointed out earlier during Mr. Lennart's argument, you have to look at the second part of that, and that's that public interest component. And it found that it was not in the public interest to validate it. So the takeaway is that IGR was never a validated road and therefore is not protected as such under the validation statutes.
So help me understand then. And I also discussed with Mr. Graves, my understanding of the validation statutes has always been there's been no determination that it's a public road. And so you go to the county or whoever and you say, hey, I want to validate this road. I want you to confirm it was offered and you're accepting it. And so it's a public road. Once you conclude it's a public road, it seems like it's a public road. And at that point, Mr. Lennart's argument, you have to go then abandon it if it's public. So help me understand how in the statutes you find this middle ground where it's a public road, but I don't have to vacate it. I can just say it's not in the public interest that we continue using it as a public road.
Yes, Your Honor. And as Mr. Graves mentioned, there is no statutory requirement for abandonment that if you don't validate it, the statute don't require you to proceed with abandoning it. Now, the county could if it had deemed it to be a public road, which it did not do. But
hold on, it said it was a public road. It was established that it was a public road. And so help me understand how it can say it's a public road, but we don't want it anymore. It's without doing vacation or abandonment proceedings.
Right. Well, 40-203A subsection 3 has that public interest component. So that's an essential part of the validation proceeding that was not satisfied. So even if RS-2477 was established, it still has to be in the public interest to fully validate it. And that's what Mr. Graves was getting at earlier, is that it was not in the public interest as deemed by the board. That was a final decision. It was not appeal. So we have to proceed on that. But at the end of the day, you just take it back to the public access easements. There are still access. Mr. Hill still has access, just like every other member of the community, via the public access easement. Just because the board hasn't allowed him to improve and maintain IGR to his personal desires does not mean that he has a substantial right that has been violated, because he's entitled to use IGR just like everyone else, and he's never been denied that right.
And thank you. I believe you've answered the question. Are there any further questions from the court? Thank you very much. Madam Clerk, how much time does the appellant have remaining?
3 minutes, Your Honor.
May it please the court, counsel. If you review the application that Mr. Hill submitted on pages 7 through 20 of the exhibits, you'll see that he's trying to maintain access to IGR based on Blaine County's road standards, and specifically the recreational access standard. That identifies a 50-foot right-of-way, but only an 11 to 15-foot wide road. And so I think it's a mischaracterization that Mr. Hill is trying to make this a 50-foot wide road during his application. He is trying to maintain the existing state of the road. He's trying to grade it to ensure that he can still drive across it, and he's trying to maintain it to the same standard that the county has passed in its right-of-way management plan, and that the county itself has done when it maintained the road back in 2017, and also in 1998, when the county told the previous private property owner that it needed to apply for an approach and encroachment permit in order to maintain this section of IGR. So, I mean, in some ways, we are looking for consistency from the county. We are looking for the county to follow its own road standards and right-of-way management plan and Idaho law. Through an extensive and time-consuming validation process beginning almost 8 years ago, that's when the validation process began, Mr. Hill successfully presented evidence that established IGR as a public road. Blaine County agreed with him and found that IGR was a lawfully created public road. And I've tried to establish that validation procedures do not create or take away rights. They simply validate them. Unless and until Blaine County goes through formal abandonment proceedings, IGR is a public road and the county must evaluate Mr. Hill's application to maintain IGR consistent with that public road status. The county also asserted that it can still abandon IGR or the public can, but that doesn't make sense if IGR is not a public road, because I don't understand how you can abandon a road that's not public. So on one hand, they're saying IGR is a public road because you can't still abandon it. On the other hand, they're denying an approach and encroachment permit application on the basis that IGR is not a public road. Finally, I want to address attorney's fees. Mr. Hill is requesting attorney's fees because the county has very clearly and in our position unreasonably attempted to create a potential loophole in Idaho Code 40-204-203A. And that loophole could effectively abandon any public road without going through Idaho's abandonment procedures. And the county, through its briefing, through the previous decisions at the administrative level, has expressed their intent to limit residential traffic and Mr. Hill's ability to develop his property rights. As a result, Mr. Hill respectfully requests attorney's fees, and I have 10 seconds left if there are any questions.
There is no, sir. Thank you very much. That's for each of you. Thank you again for your patience and good argument today. Thank you to all of you. We'll be in brief recess before we begin the session.